This is the MLWRadio.com network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions in the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger, as always, joined by Dylan and also joined by a very new theme song for our show here, Dylan.
Absolutely. And Strigger, I am very happy with the song. I think that I wanted something, as much as I love Grand Sword, and shout out to Flash for his help on the last song, I wanted something that I feel like we could make our own, kind of be our own. And through my travelings on the interwebs,
yes,
I was able to do a lot of research, and definitely copyright free in this case as well. That was my main work. But I found a website called Trial and Error, Tandis, they had. And I found a beautiful song that we had that we have now claimed as our own, although it is not our own technically, but it is now. Rainy Day is the name of the song, and what a song it is. We've entered the world of J-pop now on the show, and we were debating on the show, and I think this is something that would be interesting to think about. We were talking about the vibe, because we had a couple of things that I fooled around with. I don't think I have much of a future as a music producer in the near future, but we fooled around some stuff, and we thought about the vibe of the show. And there was a couple that were cool sounding, maybe more of like a hard rock type of deal, metal or whatever, alternative rock, whatever you want to say. And we figured, the vibe of the show is very lighthearted, I would say.
Yeah.
In the world of wrestling is what, it's not always the most serious. Sometimes you get serious, sometimes you get emotional. Even on this show, there's been serious and emotional times, but I would say most of all, this show is a fun thing for both of us and hopefully the listeners as well. So we've come up with a song, but the lyrics to this song we were looking up here. Thank you to Mikado Miyabi, the vocalist on this song. And on the website, they translate the lyrics to the song as well. A very high quality operation here. And in some of the lyrics, we notice this very happy and fun sounding song. It tells us some interesting things. If you die, you lose. If you are alive, you win. I mean, yes. Is that not what pro wrestling is about? Shindara Make Ikitara Kachi. Like, that's what it says in the song. It tells you right away. It's like it tells a story in and of itself. And isn't that what all theme music is, especially in wrestling? And we're going to talk about some interesting music on one of the major shows and maybe a video montage of everyone's theme music or someone's theme music throughout history in a certain case. But I think every good song really describes, the character or fits the character that it comes in. I think for us, we've got a new fit, and it feels good right now.
Yeah, you forwarded me a bunch of different takes you did with different songs, and we decided to use this one. It's not clearly said that we won't use some of the others at any point here, maybe for an alternative episode or a different themed episode. We'll use something else, so we'll see about that. But definitely good work on your part. Thank you, Flosh, also for forwarding the samples, the Lariat samples. Those are really great. Really love them.
Flash is always the spirit of the show, even if I did this one. He is the one. He's like the OG, pretty much.
Well, great transition, Dylan. We're actually going to talk about the OG in this show a lot, about Keiji Muto's retirement show. But before we can go to that, we of course have to take a look at the current standings of our Pro Res Fantasy Draft 23. Dylan, how are things looking right now?
It's been an interesting month so far. We're still very early on in the season, but I follow along with all the results every single day. I am on everywhere looking up different results, trying to figure out who took losses in tag matches, who won matches, who got DQ'd. And this month has been a very interesting one, obviously a very big one. And right now, I regret to inform you, Strig, that I currently have the lead overall. Although recently we both had a day where we both lost a single point. We were at 114-94, and now it's 113-93. And our top scorer so far, you did have the lead for one day this month. On the 11th, I keep track of these. You had a day where you, when me, you, and Maki won the tag tournament, because I gave you the tournament points. It could have been even worse, but I decided not to count the Ishida one-day three-man tag league that they did. Because I think if you're for a tournament to win, this is an unofficial rule, we never talked about this, but for a tournament to count, it must be at least eight people, or at least three rounds, I would say. Not just a semifinal.
Okay.
Because a semifinal and a final, that's not a tournament, in my opinion.
Nah.
Yeah, that's like
it's a mini night. Tournament. That we shouldn't count. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. See, so I took points away from myself here on this that I could have given myself. But the tag league was legitimate. 12 points apiece for Ito and Yamashita that day. And not to mention the three-point bonus for teaming together, as they did on the team and in real life. And you had a 30-point day, and you moved up. And then the next day, Abe, Julia, Shuri, Mirai, Kiyomiya, Ishida, all won. And then the next day to give me back the lead, and I've not surrendered it since overall. And overall, our top scorers right now on our team, right now you have the higher scorer than me in Miyu Yamashita at 18 points so far. So she is the league leader on the starting path. But your bench player, Hiromu Takahashi, laps the field, basically. He's up to 28 points at the moment, and he's been all on your bench. You've been leaving behind there. So if I, you know, and you're welcome to change your bench at any time. You can move benches to the starters as well. But you've played it conservative so far, and you know, and maybe it'll pay out. You can't look at the past. You have to think at the future. Now overall, and for me, Okada is my top scorer at 17 points. No surprise that Okada wins a lot. I would argue. Overall, everyone scored a decent amount, except for Aoyagi, who has zero right now so far, which has not helped overall. Everyone else has at least scored one, and Jackie Funky Kame is another one. It's like he gets these tag wins, but then he loses all the non- and takes the fall. So I keep losing points because of Jackie, but it's okay. I'm not gonna panic move couple of weeks in. I'm keeping things straightforward. Although at the first of the month, that will be our first chance to sign free agents to our team as well.
Yes, so to interchange the bench. Yes.
Yeah. See who's out there. Who's somebody that we didn't draft that we can bring in, and we might have to release some people. Some people may have a short stay in our fantasy challenge.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are the current standings? I didn't hear them.
Right now it's 113-93. Okay. I'm waiting.
Okay. Yeah, so you exactly took away what I was going to do without knowing the exact amount of scorers right now, but I will make a change.
Ah.
Yes, I will change my wildcard slot.
Okay.
I will bench Kento Miyahara and bring in Hiromu Takahashi.
That's right. That's completely allowed. Kento losing the title as well. We're about to talk about that a little bit on here. You know, that was an interesting thing. But Hiromu has been a machine on the bench. You know, he wins everything. And like the multi-man, like LIJ guys have racked up points. And he specifically with big show bonuses, title wins. It's like Hiromu has been the man. Now he finally gets his spotlight. And someone very underrated, because he wasn't somebody I really anticipated being a top scorer. But this month, he definitely has been the guy. So I think he will give you a boost for sure, putting him in the starting lineup.
That's what I'm going for. Yes, so that is the ProRes Fantasy Draft update, and we will turn straight to the big show that we had this past Tuesday. We wanted to record the show on an earlier date, but due to my work schedule, that wasn't really possible. I had Monday off, but not Tuesday, so I had to watch the show after work, so we couldn't record right away. So we're recording this on the Friday thereafter. And yes, we had the Tokyo Dome. The Tokyo Dome at first was filling up very nicely from the starting point on. We had, I was watching the English commentary. We had the NOAA's commentary team on there, and you could see the Tokyo Dome filling up. And in the end, Dylan, they actually beat New Japan Pro Wrestling, much like you predicted, 30,096 fans. And once again, this completely debunks all these statements that a weekday could be a roadblock to actually draw a lot of fans. The point here is very clear. If you have a show that is interesting and fans want to see, the fans will come. However, I want to say that this could have been part of a week where some people could take a few more days off, because the 23rd actually was a public holiday in Japan. Still, nonetheless, Tuesday was not.
That's true. And I've made that point for years on this show. You know, usually around the time of Wrestle Kingdom. Now, that's the main point of all of this is, it not only did better than Wrestle Kingdom, this is the first year in so many years where the top show of the year is a non-New Japan show. And I think that's something to really think about and celebrate in a lot of ways, where Muto at this retirement angle did a great business for Noah overall and great business for himself, but really more than anything else. And like you said, it may have caused more of a headache to watch for you. More personally, it's being in the middle of the week when you're working, but in terms of drawing people in Japan, clearly, one way or the other, this show was going to do great. I was very confident in that ever since they announced it, and it did. And, you know, like I said, the biggest show of the year, a non-New Japan show in Japan. Well, obviously not bigger than WrestleMania, but still bigger than any Japan show. So that's something to celebrate, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally. And we asked for reactions, of course, on our Twitter. For example, Yannick Spadouche says, loved how many promotions came together. Liam Fraser says, thumbs up. Shona versus Muto, favorite match and moment. The Muto stuff was better than he expected. Defrost also says, Okada versus Kiyomiya, best match, best moment. Muto versus Shona in the end. He was surprised how over Kento and Kiyomiya were, considering their level of drawing power compared to how many people were in the building. And that's really an interesting point. I think we're going to discuss that later as well. The at a dump millennial says, favorite match was either the main or Tokyo Tornado. Favorite moment was the TJPW girls killing it on a pre-show. Fireworks in the end. And Ken, an incredible and great show. Ashutosh also says, one of the best shows ever. And it has an extremely high rating on Cage Match. We're going to go over that as well. And Robbie says, Keiji Muto equals GOAT. Fantastic match with great storytelting. Nicholas Awad says, great show. The kind of spectacle of non-New Japan Pro Wrestling Japan needed. Exactly the point that you just made, Dylan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with all that. I think it would be very hard to watch this show and come away with a negative opinion on it, in my opinion, just with everything about it. The quality of the show, yes, but the spectacle of it even more so. And I think that's, especially nowadays, I don't think that the number of great up and down shows are that prevalent in general anywhere. Mm-hmm. But this is why the big shows are the ones that take the precedence now, with the specialties of it, the spectacle of it, that really makes you feel something. This obviously was an emotional ending that we'll get more into. But yeah, it's not surprising when you looked at it how positive this was received overall.
There actually is one rating on Cage Match. There is a 6.0 rating with a comment of, I don't think this show delivered. Main event was very dull. The match with Chono was bad. That is certainly an opinion, but not an opinion that I've come across very often on any form of platform I was on, because I also thought that the show was extremely great, and it was a very long show, but it felt like it was a 5.5 hour show, and it didn't feel like a 5.5 hour show. It felt like more like 4 hours maybe, or something around that. And even though it was a long show, I think there were a lot of interesting aspects and different aspects to it. And that's what a very important point is too. When you have a show that brings so many elements of pro wrestling together, it's really hard to be a show that drags, because you see so many different aspects. And that was very prevalent here as well. And we will go through some of them. We will go through all of the matches, basically, but not in full detail, because the undercard, of course, had a bunch of tag and multi-man tag matches. We're going to tackle some of those points here. Want to start with the dark match, with the pre-show matches, not the dark matches. We had three pre-show matches. The first one was Daiki Inaba and Masa Kitamiya defeating Yasutaka Yano and Yoshiki Nomura in one of the few Noah matches on the card. It was a Noah show officially, and it's going to go down in history as one of the best draws in pro wrestling Noah history without actually featuring a lot of pro wrestling Noah matches. This is one of them. The new GHC Tag Team Champions, Inaba and Masa Kitamiya. I watched their title win from Takashi Sugiura and Satoshi Kojima and thought that the match was very good. I think that both men are on an upswing in Pro Wrestling Noah, both from their positioning and from the way that they actually wrestle. I think that they wrestle with a lot of fire right now. And so they are really rocking the GHC Tag title scene. Yasutaka Yano, on the other hand, had a good showing here. Got a little shine for him as well. And of course, Inamura as good as always. So this was a cool opening.
Yeah, I agree with you about the tag titles match they had, Kitami and Inaba. They looked awesome in it. And obviously, Sugiura and Kojima were very good champions. Although it looks like Kojima won't be back at Noah. Maybe his time may be coming to an end in Noah. But he had a good run, a good tag team. I think it was the right call to put it on these guys, because I think both of them are very... It's like, if you look at their run last year, especially the last couple of months, it's like the kings of match two on Noah would be these guys here. And now they've got the tag titles, and I think that's a great spot for them. Inaba is a guy I definitely thought had a lot more to offer than they were giving him. And Kitamiya, he's a guy that's been fluctuating up and down over the years, but it feels like they're finally getting him in there. I think this has a lot of potential. Like you said, their wrestling is very good. Very good babyface, like a fiery tag team. They could do a lot of good things with this run. It just depends on what Noah's plans are for this tag division going forward, but I think they're a very good choice to put some new guys up there, give some fresh blood in the tag division. The other two, Yano and Inamura, they're going nowhere right now, but they're talented though. Like they're really good. I actually like them a lot as wrestlers. The match wasn't like super special or anything, but I like everybody involved, and it's good that they got a dome. That's another point on the show for a lot of people. They're not coming back again to the Tokyo Dome. I got news for you. So to have this moment, not just this, to some people, I'm certain on this card, it justified like their whole careers probably. Like I got to wrestle on the Tokyo Dome show. That's something that a lot of people may never have even thought that possible, and here we are that it happened, and wow, and that, like what a moment that is for these guys. So I like for them to get a dome show, that's a worthwhile venture in and of itself, in my opinion.
This show, in a few years, is going to be the source of an incredible amount of trivia questions for different people on this card.
Absolutely.
And the trivia will go on, because, I mean, TJPW is a promotion that was on the upswing for years now, but not on the Tokyo Dome level. But these women all got their Tokyo Dome moment right here in the second match of the show, the TJPW Spark. Yuka Sakazaki, Mio Yamashita, Shoko Nakajima, and Rika Tatsumi beat Mitsuki Maki Ito, Mio Watanabe, and Yuki Arai, when Sakazaki pinned Yuki Arai with the magical girl splash. And I thought it was very noticeable that they put in Yuki Arai here in the finish. I thought that delivered a clear message that she's going to be one of the projects that they will be working on throughout the year. And of course, the champion got the win before the big title match that is going to happen in Ariake on March 18. Other things in this match is how hard and how quick-paced all of the women worked in this match. And, of course, the great reaction, Dylan, that the whirling candy of Mitsuki got.
Yeah, you know, and on the Arai point, it's something I pointed out right away when this match got announced. If you look at the teams, actually, on one side, they face the other side is all their tag partners, right? Miyu and Maki, Rika and Miyu and Daydream, and then, you know, but the problem is they changed it to where, and obviously Sakazaki and Mizuki as well. But then it would have been Misao, but instead they were like, but we need Yuki Arai on this show because she's our idol project, you know, like she's a member of SKE48, so we have to have her on this dome show. So they were like, oh, sorry, Misao, we'll move Arai.
Yeah, sorry, Saki-sama. She's out too, because she would be the regular tech team partner for Yuki Arai.
They could have swapped Shoko in for Asaki, you know, that would have worked as well. You know, if they wanted to do that, that's interesting. But Shoko is like a pillar. I guess they wanted to have all their pillars in here. They're champions and whatnot. So the match itself, like you said, great reaction from Mizuki. Very easy to root for wrestler, I would say, Mizuki is. And all of them, like you said, worked hard. This is a good, like, a showcase match. Like an exhibition would be how I would describe this. It wasn't like a big story match or anything to grab you. But if you've never seen them before, you were probably impressed with at least one or two of them. Everybody wrestled pretty good, in my opinion. They had about 11 minutes, 38 seconds, according to the wonderful, wonderful website, cagematch.net. That is the bastion of pro wrestling information and all sources, including this show. But 7.49 rating shows you a lot of people liked it, especially compared to some of these other undercard multi-man tags. This was a good one. Probably my second favorite of the tags up until we get to like the story matches, the one where there was stuff going into it.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. On the topic of TJPW, they recently had a show in Nagoya on the 18th of February. What did you think about Mio Watanabe's defense of the International Princess title against Janai Kai?
I liked it. I thought Kai, she showed some good stuff in her run in TJPW. She only had a couple of matches, but I saw her on the earlier show, this month too, the bigger show, and I think she's got something to her. A good kind of women's wrestler coming into the Joshi scene, and I thought her and Miyu worked together pretty decently. I thought it was a decent match, good stuff, and Miyu is a good wrestler, good champion, and I'm very happy to see that, and I thought Janai Kai, because there's been some people they brought over, a DDT as well. You know, when it comes to bringing the foreigners in, they're very hit and miss, in my opinion, on some things. But Kai definitely brought it. She proved that she had a spot here. So I liked it.
Yeah, I think might have been a little early for Janai Kai to be in a position like that. She has a very unique look, but she hasn't been wrestling for she's been wrestling for 5 years, actually. But I feel like that she still has a long way to go. Let me see. She definitely cracked the 100 match barrier already. She's on her way to her 200th match, but I still think that she has a way to go to get her full presence, because the look is great, but look and presence don't always match with her. But I thought that she delivered good here in this match. Wouldn't go out of my way to say that this was a great match in any way of sorts, but still though, Janai Kai is an interesting foreigner. I just hope that they bring her back, because I also thought that she fit well with TJPW.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough because probably compared to this, a lot of the people that she was wrestling in the US Indies, it's a tough run of things, you know, not a lot of great talent, to be honest with you, on the Indies, and not a lot of great big shows or anything like that either. That's so just right. Coming, even though Tokyo Joshi Pro is not the biggest company overall, it's still a bigger moment, and just the spectacle of wrestling in Japan has an aura to a lot of wrestlers these days in America. So she probably was on her, you know, like she wanted to have the best performance she could have. You know, I think this was the best we could get for her. She wanted to, and like you said, it wasn't like the match of the year or anything. It was a 10-minute match ultimately. It has a 6.96 rating, which I think is about fair. Like, yeah. to be honest, like that feels right. That's an improvement over some of the other people they brought in my opinion. So I like that. And I think Watanabe also deserves credit as a great champion. I think her versus Rika at the Big Show next month,
yeah,
that's going to be an awesome match. I have very high expectations.
Me as well. And in the main of that show, we got Mio Yamashita and Yuki Arai. They got a win over Aja Kong and Moka Miyamoto. I thought that Moka delivered big in this one, showing that she's definitely ready for higher positions on the card. She didn't get lost in the main event here. She was very good, I thought. And this is going to be a part of the show that is coming up on the 18th, the Grand Princess 23 from Ariake Coliseum. We get the debuts of Haru and Momo. We get Sakisama and Mei Saint-Michel versus Yuki Kamifuku and Billy Starks returning. Recently came off a great match against Emi Sakura on AW Dark, by the way. Yep. We get a special singles match, Aja Kong versus Yuki Arai. It's going to be the big moment for Yuki Arai, biggest singles match of her career. Princess of Princess tag team titles, Max the Impaler and Heidi Horwitzer. They defend against Mio Yamashita and Maki Ito, of course, winning the tag tournament. International Princess, you mentioned it, Mio versus Erika Tatsumi, and Princess of Princess Yuka Sakazaki versus Mitsuki, with everybody expecting that Mitsuki finally wins it.
Yeah, this feels like a changing of the guard, because I can easily see the tag titles changing as well.
Yes.
With Yamashita and Ito, which is bad for me, because you're going to get more points.
And people have been saying that maybe the tag titles don't change hands, because Mio will be in the U.S. in the upcoming months, but the tag title has been in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, what kind of argument is that when the champions are Americans? Yeah, oops. We forgot about that part. But yes, you know, I definitely foresee that. And like you said, I would be very surprised if Mizuki doesn't walk away finally winning the title. That's like a years-long story that they have with the Magical Sugar Rabbits. And some of their other matches have really captured the hearts and minds of a lot of the viewers. So I expect another big show for everybody involved in Tokyo Joshi Pro, continuing to be on a good run. The card looks great. I really look forward to Watanabe and Tatsumi. That's like my most anticipated match personally. But all of them have things to, and I think Ito and Yamashita winning the tag titles, look at this tournament. This was a big story of Miyu in Yamashita in Tokyo Joshi Pro, is that she is terrible at tournaments. She always goes out early in all the tournaments, and now she finally won one, although it was Ito who won the tournament at the end, scored the fall in the last match. So this tells you a great story. They can do some things. I think they're a great team to represent the company. Mizuki as champion, I think, is a great thing. And I always say, look at the champions if you want to look at the health of a promotion. If you have, I think Watanabe will beat Tatsumi, but I wouldn't be against it if they wanted to do that, because like my favorite. So if they wanted to do that, that's fine. But either one of those is champions, Ito and Yamashita as a tag team, and then Mizuki as the POP champion. That is a very healthy company, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you great point on Miyamoto as well. She's done a lot of great stuff lately. She had a big focus in the tag tournament, teaming with Juria. Miyamoto was obviously the worker that did that team. You know, Juria is still very young in her career, great charismatic potential and all that stuff. But Moka is more experienced and had a lot of spotlight. So that's somebody they've shown a good interest in so far this year. Hopefully some more big things are in the future for Moka Miyamoto, because I really like her talent as well.
Absolutely. So that is the TJPW part now. We go to the World Warrior Battle. And like the title was very straightforward and was implying that this would be a true battle between lots of warriors on here with a six-man tag match, but it was actually a very short match with 7 minutes. The good-looking guys, Jake Lee, Jack Morris, and Anthony Green, defeated Takashi Sugiura, Satoshi Kojima, and Timothy Thatcher. Also due to friendly fire between Sugiura and Kojima, and Jake Lee did win with his front high kick to the corner on Thatcher. and later on, of course, in the show, challenged or basically beat up Kaito Kiyomiya, who had a rough night. He didn't challenge him, he just beat him up. That match is going to go down on, let me see when the match is actually going to happen. It's on the Voyage 2023 in Yokohama on the 19th of March. Kaito Kiyomiya defense against Jake Lee. Also announced for that show for the GHC Tag Team title, Masaki Tamiya and Daiki Inaba versus Kenno and Manabu Soya, as well as Hayata is back. He and Chris Ridgway challenge Yoshinari Ogawa and Eita for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. Another match I won't be watching.
Lucky you, Strigger.
Lucky me. There has to be something special these days that gets me to watch these junior heavyweight tag team title matches in NOAH. But yeah, Dylan, this match was very short, but main question here. Jake Lee and the good-looking guys act. What ceiling do you see for the act and for Jake Lee?
Well, I mean, the ceiling for Jake is world champion, which he probably will be next month. I would say.
You really think that he wins the title?
I mean, after this show, I mean, I
would say too, but
yeah. I mean, we'll talk about our champion later in NOAH, but I mean, I think there's no choice basically at this point. I would argue the act itself. I really don't understand how they're building up Jake in NOAH. It's like, this all feels so mid-card. Like,
and that is why I don't actually see him winning the title.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, they haven't exactly built him up to be a main player, I would say. But like I said, I mean, the wrestling was okay. It wasn't a bad match or anything. Disappointed that Thatcher took the fall, I would say. You had Green right there. You had a junior. You know, Jack had his title shot already. Like, don't do my boy Thatcher like this, NOAH. I didn't defend you for this reason. Shout out to WH on the episode last week that we talked about when he was on. We were debating over who is, like, are these good-looking guys, basically, in this faction? And we were split on Green, because I think he was specifically going for the 70s kind of look.
That's his gimmick, yeah.
But WH did not think he was a good-looking guy. So what's your judgment on Green? Good-looking or...
I think he's going more for an 80s look, to be quite honest.
Okay. These are all before my time. So
I will, first of all, I will say that Jack Morris definitely is a good-looking guy.
Right, I agree with that, absolutely.
Jake, you can make an argument. Yeah, he's good-looking as well. Anthony Green, I think he has a very niche style that also goes down with his look. So I think that he will be a good-looking guy to a very specific audience and not to a mainstream audience. It's a very political answer that I gave.
Okay. I see where you're going for. I think that's kind of what I said, too. I said the same thing. WH was burying him, but I said to a specific audience, I think he could be. And I think Jake, you know, again, we kind of have a disagreement, but WH would not go against Jake and say that he is a good look. He said he was a very good looking guy. So, you know, like you said, very good answer on your part. It shows why you're a true pro, Strick, on that. But as a match, there's not a lot to say, unfortunately.
No. Yes, and from there we go to the new explosion. It was actually then the opening of the show. And they opened, of course, with a G-Man saying, "This is Pro Wrestling NOAH." And lucky for them, they actually had a Pro Wrestling NOAH match next up. So otherwise it would have been very weird if he says, "Oh, this is Pro Wrestling NOAH and we have a DDT match coming up." But no, we had the junior mix here, 6 minutes. Yoshinari Ogawa, Eita, Hayata, Chris Ridgway, and Daga, of all people. Another great trivia. Defeated Atsushi Kotoge, Yohei, and Seki Yoshioka, Alejandro, and Yuta Miyawaki. Miyawaki took the loss here in a very weird way, very short match. Leg capture chicken wing by Ridgway, who is now challenging for the junior title. Miyawaki should be the big project for them. But it's, of course, Pro Wrestling NOAH and the junior division. He lost here once again. Is he actually going to be a main player for them, Dylan? Do you expect him to be a junior ace at any point?
Well, obviously, talent-wise, I think he definitely has that, you know, that potential. We saw in that match with Makasa last month that I thought
Lucas
was awesome.
There too.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is he's already going back on excursion again, so not anytime soon. He's going back to Mexico, so I mean, you know, I think that eliminates him.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, I think that pretty much eliminates his prospects overall. So, hey, again, if you listened to last week's episode with WH, you heard I got a lot of comments on, more than anything else on the episode, was my rant on the junior tag match that they had on the show. On, I think the 12th was when they had that. And I hate all these people so much. Like, it's a stinger.
It's a never-ending story.
No, I hate them. Like, I think you can make a case Stinger's the worst faction in pro wrestling history. at least for me. Like, I hate them. And like, the thing is, on their own, it's not like, okay, Hayata's pretty bad. And I think Ada's been terrible and Noah overall. The other two are good on their own. But when they're in this scenario, I hate them. Like,
These matches don't have any redeeming quality.
No.
These matches don't have an actual point to them. They always end in a very similar fashion. It's just mid-card hell.
Except they get pushed too much. Like, they were
above. It should
be
mid-card hell, yeah.
Yeah, like, I wish it was. Like, they were one of the top matches on the New Year's show.
They were above the heavyweight tag title. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and like, so like, they should be. Like these guys are like mid-card at best on their own, but for some reason, like, and it's never ending, you know? Like, this Stinger crap has been going on for years at this point, 3 to 4 years. I won't get into where I went last time, but this was the worst match of the show on top of it. And they keep proving themselves. I mean, I guess you've won a Kata Nosawa match, I would say, overall. And I mean, you know, Noah, there was one match that was all DDT, but every other match had a Noah guy in it, at least, or like a Noah side overall. Although, like, Noah guy could be Muto and Nosawa, who nobody thinks of as Noah guys. But I mean, you know, there was Noah guys up and down the card. I would say, at least, I think you could qualify it as a Noah show, even though the main point, I think, for everybody is there were different factions, you know, and like, the, you know, the DDT match is obviously its own thing, which I would much rather talk about than this horrific junior.
Yeah, let's go to the DDT match. It was dramatic. Dream, Future, Mao, Shunma, Katsumata, Yuki Ueno, and Toi Kojima defeated Tetsuya Endo, Hideki Okatani, Yuya Kuroku, and Takeshi Masada with the WR from Ueno against Masada. Once again, here, one of the promising rookies was in the finishing stretch with one of the guys that they are pushing a lot. And by the way, too, Ueno recently was in a match with Hagane Shino on the DDT show in Nagoya, which was very cool because the WR that Ueno is using is basically a version of Hagane Shino's move that he invented during his days as Madoka in K-Dojo, the run high.
That's right.
Yeah, so this match, I thought that the guys took advantage of what they were given here with the 9 minutes. It's, of course, hard to deliver in this position in an 8-man tag situation. Toi Kojima looked good. Yuya Kuroku, I think, is a very good prospect. Of course, I love Hideki Katani. I was watching the D-Generations Cup recently, and Hideki Okatani versus Yuya Kuroku probably was my favorite match of the tournament so far. It's nearing its end as well with Kuroku and Masada facing in the finals on Sunday, actually. I thought that the tournament itself has been pretty good. There were some matches that were okay, but there were also some good matches with, for example, the match I just mentioned with the Kuroku and Okatani match.
I've really enjoyed Nakamura in the tournament. He's a guy that's been out, but I think every time I've seen him, he's really stood out and shown that he has a lot to offer. You know, he's been missed overall. I really like his wrestling in a lot of his matches. He wasn't in this match, unfortunately, but the tournament was good. Like you said, nothing like great matches, but fun to watch and good to see rookies have their own style, so to speak. Masada's the best prospect of all these guys, in my opinion. So it's not a surprise he was picked to be in the finish stretch, as you said. The match could have been a lot better, but for 9 minutes it was good. You know, probably the best match, like, in terms of wrestling, this was probably the best match, like, that of the show so far. You know, like, I to this point. Not overall, obviously, but, you know, not a lot of, it didn't let you feel like it was super, super important overall, and I think that might have hurt it, but these are all rights at the end of the day, so I really wasn't expecting more. I think from a wrestling standpoint, it was good, you know, and like I said, up until we get to the main matches, which were, we got one more match to skip over, pretty much, that wasn't that important, but then everything else had importance to it, and besides that, I think this was the best match up to this point, I would say.
I would still go with the TJPW match. But I can see that this one also was up there.
That had more star power and charisma and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I would say like that may be the better overall match. I think from a wrestling perspective, this was more well.
Yeah, maybe.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah, one more match to skip. Just like we got the Noah versus Dragon Gate match. Dragon Gate, unlike All Japan Pro Wrestling, decided to have their champion on this show. With Shun Skywalker, Kai, and Diamante, the Zebrats team, losing to Ninja Mac, Naomichi Marufuji, and El Hijo, the Dr. Wagner Jr., who, unlike Keiji Muto, did a moonsault press. He did his version of the best moonsault ever, which, by the way, looked gorgeous. And I want to say that last year, I really didn't understand why Noah were using this Wagner Jr. guy. But he's come around. I thought that his match with Manabu Soya for the national title was very strong. Good main event match. And I thought that he was good here as well. Great finishing stretch. Great finishing sequence here with Kai. Diamante had a great move as well, where it looks like that he got hurt with his the springboard 450 thing that he did.
And, I thought it was on the when they threw him over. Yeah, the catapult thing.
Yeah.
Then you could see him like land on his forearm hard, and I think that messed up his arm. Yeah.
I absolutely love the monkey flip thing that Shun Skywalker does, where it looks like the guys just tumbleweed into the opponents. That just looks awesome, and I was thankful that they did this on the grand stage in the Tokyo Dome. Great stuff. This match was pretty good, actually. Not up there, but just a good match. Naomichi Marufuji, he was there too.
That's kind of the best way to describe Marufuji these days.
This, like, he's there. He's there too, yeah.
Yeah, I like this match too, actually. I know Zebrats got some mixed reviews upon new viewers because they're like an incredibly heel type of team. Lots of overdramatic acting and stuff, as you would expect from a Dragon Gate heel team. But as wrestlers, I thought they were really strong here. They put a lot into it. I thought the Noah team, like you said, Marufuji didn't do a lot, but I thought Mac and Wagner both did good stuff here. Mac is such an impressive junior for Noah. I think he's a great pickup for them. Always is able to wow the crowds with a lot of his flippy stuff that he does. Wagner, definitely agree with you. He wasn't somebody I had in mind for a national title when he won it, and I was like, wow. But when he now that what we've seen him do, I think his work has been really good. You know, like this year, it feels like he's another guy, kind of like Inaba and Kitamiya, where they're stuck in these mid-card roles for so long, and now they have something to do and sink their teeth into, and that brings another gear that they didn't have, maybe doing boring multi-man tag matches. So now that him getting a push, it feels like that's really motivated him to do some great stuff here, and I think the Dragon Gate guys are so strong in the ring, like all three of them. Although, unfortunately, Diamante got hurt, but even still, I think that the Zebrats team was really strong and good stuff. I thought it was interesting that the Noah team actually won, and Wagner specifically winning because they had basically set up maybe that one of the Dragon Gate guys could beat Wagner and challenge for the national title.
Mm-hmm.
But and they had Mac, who you would think would be a lost post in this kind of match, but they avoided it. Noah, maybe not always the politically aggressor. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But in terms of the other companies, we've seen Noah stand tall, actually, in the Dome Show over All Japan and Dragon Gate. So it started here with a good match, I would say.
Yes. Quickly looking at Dragon Gate, their Rede Pareas tournament is going on. I'm just looking up the Dragon Gate website. They still have two more shows to go before the final in Kirken Hall happens. And right now it looks the following. Block A, we have Jackie Funky Kamai and Jason Lee with 5 points. Then Hio and Ishin, as well as the Mochizukis with 4. Kyoto Minura and Bibi Hulk, as well as Kaito Nagano and Yoshiki Kato with 3. And Yuki Yoshioka and Madoka Kikuta were down there. Actually, they had another show the other day. Wait a sec. Yuki Yoshioka and Madoka Kikuta actually are at 4 points now. They defeated the Nagano and Kato team. In Block B, there is Shun Skywalker and Kai leading. They won every match so far. They recently also beat Yamadoi, by DQ, that is. They are up to 8 points now, whereas Suzumu and Kanda are at 4, Yamato and Doi at 3, the Strong Machines at 3, Dragon Kid and Daya at 2, and Benkei and Minohita at 0 right now. And I want to say that I recently watched their show, or the double shot actually, from this past Sunday, the 19th. And they had this noon show in the main event. There was a time limit draw. There are lots of time limit draws, by the way, in this tournament. Kaito Nagano and Yoshiki Kato drew against Masaki Mochizuki and Mochizuki Jr. And I tweeted that out. It was completely ridiculous how good this main event was, that because this Yoshiki Kato guy, he only debuted in December. Nagano debuted in July, and Mochizuki Jr. in August. And they are here just doing a main event, 20-minute match, like they've never done anything else. This generation of Dragon Gate rookies is just crazy good.
Yeah, Nagano was in August and Mochizuki was in June, I think. Remember, Ultimo came out and then he said, oh yeah, cheering restrictions are listed, and then there actually weren't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then he was like, oh, so you're going to be Mochizuki Jr. You're not going to use your real name now. Everyone was like, huh? it's been okay for that. And I think that they've done a great job in the tournament. They've been kind of the highlight to me, the Mochizuki team. And I think that their story is very cool, and both of them are obviously awesome wrestlers. Even now, like you said, somebody like a Kato, very, very new, and yet he is a guy that they've already targeted and pegged for stardom, mm-hmm. and he's another guy where it feels like he's really doing his best to make all of this work. And they've already got a big win over the Kung Fu Masters earlier in the tournament. They're giving these guys spots here, and I think they're doing a great job. Nagano, more importantly, how would you rate his football skills as they've grown so far? His progress. Oh,
yeah. I've learned from the Open the Voice Gate that his brother is actually playing for a team in one of the not in the J League actually, one a couple of leagues down. But yeah, his football skills, they definitely have improved in comparison to the other show we did a couple of weeks ago. I think he's getting better at it. His theme definitely is cool. I know that you've discussed that on the Dramatic Dream Dragons show as well. For a young guy like him, getting a theme like that that you can chant along that easily is cool. And he's just getting along with the tradition of Dragon Gate. You know, these kind of weird sports gimmicks. That's the DNA of Dragon Gate. Yeah, remember Ryo Saito,
Yoshino,
the GM?
Yeah, Yoshino had the baseball gimmicks too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a cyclist. Others had sports gimmicks as well. Naoki Doi. He was second Doi for a while. So, they are definitely pecking him to be something special.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. I like the football stuff. The team's good. He's a guy that has a lot of talent. He's a guy, when I saw him the first time, I thought, okay, this is a guy. This guy has upside to be a great wrestler. You know, who's to say about star power? I think Kato will probably be a bigger star, but wrestler-wise, he really stood out right away. And they make a great team. I like what they're doing. The tournament, a lot of their shows, too, it's good to say, is that a lot of these Rey de Pereja's shows, they're free on YouTube to watch, too. So even if you're not a subscriber to Dragon Gate, you can watch them and get a taste of it.
I don't think that has necessarily been communicated very well. Open the Voice Gate, they've pointed that out, because I just looked at Dragon Gate and none of these matches actually have a rating on Cage Match. They had this stretch, they had this opening 2-day stretch of shows that they, or 3 days actually, that they did, and then they had this weird break for over a week until they returned to another show, which is kind of it's not very fortunate for a tournament like that to have this long of a break in between, because some of the stuff that has happened has already been forgotten. For example, just the great first day on February 3rd. By the end of this tournament, this will have been forgotten, and I don't know why they did it, but that's the way that they chose to run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I'm just as confused as you, but I guess we're doing a public service. We're giving Dragon Gate some free publicity tips right now, I guess. You know, go to YouTube. It's on there.
By the way, not the Dragon Gate Network account. It's the Dragon Gate account there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point. See, look at that. You're on top of everything, Striga. You should be a Dragon Gate ambassador or something right now. You know more about the stuff than they do in terms of where their shows air.
I don't hope so, but maybe.
maybe so. Speculated right now.
Yes, so that basically concludes all the stuff that we can talk about on the undercard of this show. And guess we will be turning to one of the main matches that we had with All Japan versus Noah. Katsuhiko Nakajima, Manabu Soya, and Kano defeated Kento Miyahara, Suwama, and Yuma Aoyagi 15 minutes with the professional foot stomp from Kano against Yuma Aoyagi, taking an L here for me. Dylan, this entire match, the entrances, the face-off between Nakajima and Miyahara, the crowd reaction to all of it, this felt big time.
Oh, Kento, he felt like a superstar, you know, when he came out. Like, great reaction from the dome here. And it would have been even better if he were the Triple Crown champion, some would argue. You know, I would say going into this dome show. But, I mean, the match was really good and very heated. You know, like, the fans were, like, super into this. You know, they did a good stuff with Kento, and like that was a big point of the build-up to all of this, was Kento and Nakajima's story, so to speak, you know, pretty much. You know, I think it was interesting that this match was good, and I think it was a smart move to how they did this. I mean, I hate that Yuma took the fall, to be honest, I kind of hate that, but... on the other hand, I think it's smart to pivot away from Kento and Nakajima, because I don't think that there's any way that they can go with that. Like, they're pivoting more towards Kenno challenging All Japan right now is the big story coming out of this, which I think is a smart move overall. And I think that they accomplished that very well. And Noah got another win on their own dome show here, stood tall. I was wondering what was going to happen with Soya. You know, maybe he could be the lost post, but instead it was Aoyagi, like naive Dylan, not recognizing that Aoyagi would take the fall here. One of their tag team champions, of course, as well. Yeah, I mean, it was good. I personally didn't think this was, like, great, you know, in my opinion, like compared to the especially compared to the singles match, like later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was good for what it was, and very heated. The crowd reacted to All Japan guys like they were big deals, especially Kento, as they should be. I would say so. It was good. I didn't maybe love this as much as a lot of other people did, but I did think that the crowd was into it, and Kento did a great job in his role. And I think they were like it was booked smart overall, even though I'm just a little bitter about Yuma losing.
I would also swap the ratings with another match on this show that we'll talk about here later. I thought this was good, and it completely benefited, of course, from the crowd reaction, from the heat that we got for Nakajima and for Miyahara. But an underrated aspect of this match is how much of a great brawler Suwama was in here. Suwama was in his beast mode. He was just throwing lariats and punches all over the place. This dude, for the first time in a long time, it actually felt like that this dude has a purpose. Because in this act that he is in All Japan, the Voodoo Murders act, that act doesn't serve any purpose. It just floats around. There is nothing happening with it. He's just there. But in this match, he was standing up for his promotion against the Congo guys from Noah, and he was great in here. As for Miyahara, I wonder what the idea was in the end. I figured that they took away the Triple Crown from him. Maybe, because they wanted to protect the title because he would have gotten pinned here. That was my initial reaction, but he did not get pinned. Still, though, I can see that they didn't want the Triple Crown to be in the mid-card matches compared to the GHC and IWGP Heavyweight title. Obviously, Dragon Gate did not care about that, so still wondering what the thinking about behind taking the title of Kento one day before that was. And in general, Dylan, the entire Triple Crown run this year felt weird. Kento defended the title against Takuya Nomura in January. And in February, they did two title matches without any need for it, in my opinion. They first did the Aoyagi match, and then they did the Nagata match. And I thought that the Kento and Nagata match would have been something for Ottawa. I was completely surprised that when they announced it for Currican Hall. And in Ottawa, they are now doing Nagata versus Shuji Ishikawa. So, question here is, why did they run through so many title matches already by February?
I think that answer is to beef up Kento's run before he lost the title very quickly. So they had to fit these title matches in a short amount of time. Why they needed to do that so quickly is another question, and one that I understand less. Like you said, I mean, maybe just having it as a mid-card deal, maybe they were against that for some reason. I really think it would have been better if they hadn't have, personally. But besides that, though, I really don't mind the title switch. You know, Nagata, you have a lot of fresh matches. And I think this paves the way for Kento to win the Champion Carnival. We just talked about that not that long ago, about who is the next guy like to win this Champion Carnival. Because there's no easy answer. Overall, when you look at this roster at the moment, really him and Suwama are the only ones I can think of that would be realistic at this point. And I think he's a much better option than Suwama. I would say even going back to the same run, and that's kind of where I think this is all going, more or less. Why they did it before the Dome, why they needed to rush it so much, I don't know. I really don't understand it. Is it possible that, you know, there was some political stuff about it too, that, like, going on, like somebody forced their hand that we don't know about it, like you know, saying, hey, we've got these other titles, we don't need the Triple Crown as well, and this is just speculation on my part, but it feels like there's no logical answer to it is the problem.
Not
so it
really
has to be something. So. Yeah, it has to be something we're not thinking about overall that we're not privy to. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, was it a political decision somehow from another company trying to like bully them? Because we talked about it beforehand. I know you thought that All Japan wouldn't even be on the show with the things between Noah and All Japan. Is it possible there's still some lingering stuff there that they tried to, you know, throw, somebody tried to throw their weight around? Like, yeah, you can get on the show, but you can't have the Triple Crown on there. Like, that's just speculation. Again, we don't know. And it seems like Noah and All Japan is going to be working together a lot more coming out of this, which is a great thing, I would say. So,
first, what do you think about the Nagata and Miyahara match?
Oh, I thought it was great. Like, I thought this was the best Kento match this year so far, actually. Besides the tag titles.
The tag title was awesome.
Yeah, that was the best match, I would say, of everything. But as a singles match, I think this is better than the Takuya match, actually.
Me too. I agree. Basically, also due to the fact that Yuji Nagata, at 54 years old, this guy was completely amazing in this match. And I want to point this down to one sequence in the match. It was the high kick that he delivered near the end of the match. He completely had the crowd in the palm of his hand, and he completely delivered this high as he got to the dome of Kento Miyahara. At 54 years old, I can't even imagine getting my leg up as high with my current age. And man, Nagata just was completely amazing in this one, and felt like how he felt maybe 10 years ago when he was still wrestling for the IWGP Heavyweight title in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, great stuff. I really hope that Yuma Aoyagi is the one to eventually take the title of him. If it's going to be after the Champion Carnival right away, we'll see. To your point of working together, we also got this as a question from Nicholas. Nicholas said, his question was, is the Noah All Japan relationship going to be Congo only? Should it be Congo only? Should Noah pursue Yoshi matches as their next big experiment? Oh, that's a different question, but I'll just throw them to you, Dylan.
I don't think there's any reason why it has to be Congo only. I think that you have a lot of different people on this roster that would benefit from going in there. And if you remember a few years ago, before the pandemic happened in 2020, they actually had Sugira planned for the Champion Carnival. And unfortunately, that messed up, like the pandemic ended up messing that up. They had to move it to that horrible September Champion Carnival they had there. But besides that, Sugira is a guy. They have a lot of great wrestlers on their roster, I think would be beneficial to have for All Japan specifically to have on their roster. You have junior guys that you could look to as well, you know, give some new fresh opponents for their run with Doi right now. And obviously later on with guys like Aoyagi, Rising Hayato. Some good matches there, Sato as well. So you have a lot of different guys on Noah. I think their problem, to me, I've said it before, Noah has the best roster, like in terms of death, like wrestling-wise talent. It's just their booking is awful. So it's like if they were in a different place, maybe some more different styles, you get a fresh toy in All Japan, something to do, I think that would help a lot of guys on the Noah roster. So I think it should be beyond that. I think right now it's more focused on Kenno trying to go into this other company, which I think is a great storyline hook to start. But if it's successful, if there's not any political issues coming out of it, then I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be more. What do you think, Street?
I actually think that Congo basically is their unit that they send to different promotions, which is why I think for the near future, this definitely will be limited to Noah versus to Congo versus All Japan Pro Wrestling, because they've set up different stuff in this match. Also with Kento Miyahara calling out Masaki Tamiya, which actually contradicts my point.
Yeah,
I just noticed that he is not a part of Congo. Still, though, I think Congo they have been the team that they've sent out. They've been in DDT. It basically has been DDT versus Congo when they were there. And even though they called it New Japan versus Noah on the show in Yokohama, it was Congo versus LIJ and not Noah versus LIJ. So I think they will limit it to that for the first time, but they will, after that, branch out to do more stuff, because it definitely will be beneficial to all sides to do more of this interpromotional stuff, which was very visible, of course, on this show.
Yeah, like to me, there's just no good reason not to, in my opinion. In terms of the Joshi question, though, I think that they kind of teased that a little bit when they had the thing at the Muto show last month, where they had Jungle Kiona talk about trying to start a GHC women's title type of deal. Shout out to Jungle Kiona, by the way. I know she's going through some rough times right now. Please get well soon, Jungle. You know, I love you so much. You know, hopefully you're doing good and everything. In terms of the GHC women's title, though, I think it would be an interesting idea. I kind of feel similar to what I felt about the women's title for IWGP, where I feel like that's destined. I think there's less of an odds of that. I think that they're maybe more open-minded in companies like Noah and All Japan to stuff like this, to where it wouldn't be as politically, much of a hassle. People wouldn't try to sabotage it like they did with All Japan, or New Japan, rather. I don't think they would try to do it like that. But I think it's a tough bridge to cross right now, and they've already got Tokyo Joshi Pro in Wrestle Universe already. So I think it's not necessary, but I think it could be good. There's a lot of different options, and I think it would give some people a bigger stage that they could work out if they wanted to. So I would do it personally. I think that they have a lot of options when it looks to. You could have some matches too where maybe you'll use a Tokyo Joshi Pro wrestler and have them battle a freelancer that they wouldn't get to wrestle in Tokyo Joshi Pro specifically. They could do that in Noah if they wanted to do that. So I think if they were smart about it, I think it would be a great idea personally.
Yeah, I mean, why not? There definitely is appeal to it. Yoshi is on the rise. We've, of course, said it with Stardom that the promotion is so strong. And I can see other promotions wanting to have a piece of it. I mean, All Japan, they are also doing Yoshi stuff now. They had Unagi Sayaka on the show last weekend, and she's going to be in a six-man tag against Zuwama, Maya Yuki and Mayumi Osaki coming up in Shinjuku Face on the 14th. So why not? And there was one more. 16 years in the making, Dylan. Gedo and Nozawa Rongai finally squared off in the Tokyo Dome once again after they wrestled on the first Wrestle Kingdom, where Yado and Gedo beat Masada and Nozawa Rongai. And Masada and Nozawa were on the same team here. Tokyo Gurantai took the L in 4 minutes and 43. To me, I mean, Nozawa, is he completely washed, or what did you take away from this? Can't he do a match anymore?
Ah, who cares? It's Nozawa. you know, like, what was he going to do? If they even had a full, like, real match, like, he's not a very good wrestler. I think that this was a smart call. He got what he wanted out of this. He got to be on the Dome once again, something that he probably thought impossible even a year ago. And yet, here we are with Masada and Nozawa in the Dome and a totally nothing match overall. Like, is he watched? I mean, if he's retiring, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I felt about this whole match. Like, who cares? I feel like Persona 3 right now.
Unfortunately, they failed to make this shorter than the Chono versus Muto match later on. That would have been great.
Yeah, it was like a total vanity match at the end of the day. There was no purpose behind it other than to get Nozawa and, you know, potentially Gato on the show, and they had their buddies here that they had, it was the worst match of the show, technically.
Yeah, it was no meaning to it. Well, then let's get going to the main matches of the show. First of all, we had Hiromu Takahashi defeating Amakusa, the junior heavyweight champions of their respective companies, facing off after they had been on an excursion to England. It was the big hook of the match. They were in Forefront Wrestling, 4FW, in the UK, and actually had a match when Hiromu was a rookie and Amakusa was still going as Kenbei for the 4FW Junior Heavyweight title. In 2013, that was. And they went back to that match as one of the main points for this match. And I thought that this one was great. I really loved the match. I thought that they both showcased a lot of their stuff, which at a show like this basically is the most important thing here. I thought that Amakusa, also from his entrance, looked to be on a similar level as Hiromu Takahashi. And even though Hiromu in the end won straight with the time bomb two. A horrific bump, by the way, on the first time bomb. Amakusa landed right on his head. But yeah, I really loved this match. I thought it was great.
I mean, the wrestling was great. They packed a lot in here. I was disappointed because it was so short at the end of the day. And I think that if they had more time, this could have been the match of the night easily. And what we got was like really strong for what it was. I just think at 10 minutes, you know, like it turned into kind of an exhibition of great spots more than like a what it could have been if they had a main event setting, which I mean, I guess that's a little naive to think about that is even possible, but for what it was, I mean, these two are awesome. Like Amakusa is one of my favorite wrestlers right now. I think he's like such a great champion for Noah's junior scene, like the total opposite of the tag team champions where he's everything they should want. Everything that you want in a champion, everything anyone would want as a junior heavyweight champion. Great look, great spots. I mean, he's like so exciting to watch. Such a unique style in the ring. And Hiromu is this out of control, explosive guy. I honestly haven't been as into his run as New Japan Junior Champ. And even on the other shows, I feel like he's been outpaced twice now, like on the Noah shows where, you know, the crowd was rallying behind O'Hara in the first match. And here I felt like Amakusa was really capturing the crowd's imagination more than Hiromu.
Yes, he was.
But, you know, it was a really good match, like the best match of the show, like up to this point, in my opinion. And maybe a lot of people like the All Japan match a little bit better, just with the heat and the story of it. I think if we had switched the times, I think this would have gotten more bang for our bucks.
I can see that, but I was actually very happy with the match time, because they packed so much stuff into the 11 minutes. I thought that the pacing was up from the first get-go, from the first second of the match. They were going strong, doing a lot of dives to the outside. Amaxa's dives, they are just so gorgeous looking. And Hiromu obviously, once again, in his crash derby mentality. And this is the match that I would swap the rating with the All Japan match. We have a rating of 8.36 for the All Japan versus Noah match and 7.77 for this one. I would swap these ratings. I think that the Junior match was better. And I think they left something on the table, definitely, for a match down the line. I don't think that they are finished. Hiromu Takahashi seems to be a very free-spirited guy in 2023, and New Japan seems to be behind him a lot in what he is able to do and what he's allowed to do. So I will definitely wait for this match to go down once more or two more times. Well, who knows? He made an appearance at Toshigi Pro Wrestling at an offshoot of Pro Wrestling 01 on the 23rd, where he basically said that the All-Star Junior Festival is already sold out, but you can purchase it on pay-per-view, and he said that part of the revenue of that show will go to Shinjiro Otani. So he went to this minor little promotion to make promotion for his own show. We got the question what Toshigi Pro is. There are a lot of vital local promotions these days. We've talked about that with Kyushu Pro and Ryukyu Dragon Pro, for example. And 01 wanted to go in there, and they decided to have their own little local promotion with Toshigi Pro, where basically the 01 roster wrestles amidst some other guys that they get on these shows, and it's just to enhance the region of Toshigi. It's a nice little project. So yeah, that's what we got with Hiromu. The Junior Festival is coming up. Hiromu is defending against Leo Rush next, whereas Amaxa has High 69 coming up, Dylan.
I'm really looking forward to this Junior Festival deal. You've seen a lot of great names announced for that. And, you know, like lots of great talent that they have to pick from, and it feels like they're doing it. And, you know, you made a great point. Hiromu kind of has free reign, it feels like, right now. I still don't think they get the most out of him. I just don't think him as junior champion is that interesting. Like, even now, I think this Junior Festival is much more interesting, and hopefully they can bring a lot more into it overall. And I can't wait to see what they put together with a lot of these different people from different corners. They announced, like, right away when they announced, they had all these companies that they were going to have, and some were big, some were small. And so it seems like everybody's going to get their piece of the pie on this, which is very cool. And again, a great idea from Hiromu and great idea from New Japan to allow it, and hopefully all the companies get to shine. So I look forward to that. I would love if Hiromu and Amakusa got to wrestle again. I just think Amakusa deserves all kinds of spotlights against everybody. And Hiromu, you know, I think that he's a guy that him and Leo Rush will have a great match. I think Leo Rush really shined huge in the tag league. And I think that you'd have a lot of great talent that he could work with. Amakusa, Hiroki, that's like a good story. They had a great feud when they were still both in Congo overall, when he was still just how. But it'll be interesting if they can recapture that magic. I don't have super high expectations for that, but I think Amakusa is a great champion. So I'm interested in anything he does, no matter who he wrestles, because I think he's like a top-tier talent this year. So I look forward to more from both men in the future.
I hope that Billy Ken Kidd can shine on the show.
Yeah, he was announced.
Yep. Osaka Nearly 50. Pro, baby.
He's pushing 50 at this point. So one of the OG indie junior guys with Opro.
Yeah. So there is really no easy transition from Billy Ken Kidd to Okada and Kato Kiyomiya, so I'll just don't pretend that there is any. Okada. He completely crushed Kaito Kiyomiya. Very clear finish. Very dominant performance. What did you think about it?
As a match, it was awesome. Like, the best match on the show.
By far.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is clearly an elevation among the other things. I think this Okada run was so great. We didn't get to talk about it, but after Kaito beat Jack Morris when Okada came in and cut that heel promo, like very Americanized style. Like, you know, I don't just hate Kaito. I hate you stupid Noah fans on top of it. Like, I thought it was awesome. Like, I love snarky Okada. We saw earlier, too, we didn't mention that All Japan match. One of the best moments of that match to me was when Yuma mocked Keiji Muto. Like,
the amount of boos he got.
Yeah, the crowd hated that. I thought it was awesome. Like, I love Yuma. Like, Yuma is my guy at the end of the day. But Okada here did another similar deal where he used the Emerald Flosion on Kaito here. Like, clearly just going all in on this anti-Noah character that he has, which just rules. I think Okada has been awesome, like, these last couple of months. I love what he's been doing. Great, like, you know, foil to Kaito. The problem is that this entire feud, like, wrestling-wise, you saw how talented, like, Kaito's amazing as a wrestler. I think he's one of the absolute best wrestlers in the ring of any company, in my opinion. Like, right near the top. You could make a case he's the best, honestly. The problem with all of this is this entire feud has been built around Okada too big for Kaito. Like, why should I wrestle this loser? It's basically kind of like Okada's whole deal. You know, this guy is not on my level. I don't want to do a match. I don't even want to be at the Dome to wrestle this man. Like, I'll pass on this Dome payday, the biggest show of the year, just so I don't have to wrestle this geek. And then it's like he so clearly beat him that I think that really hurt Kaito overall. And, you know, on a personal level, I said this on Twitter, I really didn't have any emotional reaction because I expected this to happen, to be honest. Like, this is exactly as I predicted. A lot of people were trying to say it was a time limit draw, and I had hoped for that, but I in my mind, I thought, well, there's no way Okada's not winning this match. At the end of the day, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a political deal. Like, look, and I can't even blame them in a lot of ways because, to me, this was the hottest thing on this show, even more than the main event. Like, going into it, the buzz was about this match more than Muto's retirement. I think the longtime fans, yes, will obviously say that Muto's retirement is the big deal, and it was the big deal by the end of the show. But going into it, the buzz was on this match. And I think a lot of that is due to Okada's great star power. So if I'm New Japan, I don't blame them. Say, look, if I want to send our biggest star and our world champion over to have a huge match on your Dome show that's going to beat our Dome show, and I think they felt that as well, and I know that they were afraid of it, then yeah, he has the win. So I don't really blame them. I think the match was great in terms of the time. I think that this was the perfect Okada time, like the 16, 17 minute mark. I think that they were great in it. It just unfortunately made Kaito look bad, and I think that that's the problem. And I'm not even going to pretend it didn't. I didn't have an emotional reaction to it, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I was mad over it, because I understand where New Japan's coming from, and I also, I totally expected it. But as a match, it was great.
Yeah, I agree that he definitely was completely dominated. What I liked, though, about the performance is, I mean, Okada was completely beating him, and that was clear from the first minute of the match. Still, Kaito got some very good moments in the match, and especially the Misawa-inspired moves that really got him over with the crowd. It wasn't really offense, it was all counter moves that he did. But the Misawa-inspired offense was great, especially the elbow strike. The thing, though, is now... Oh, by the way, I completely loved this one. This has a rating of 8.99, and I think it was much better. I think it is near the top of my match of the year list right now. I thought it was that good.
Wow.
The heat was tremendous. Okada was tremendous. Kaito was in his was still good in his role where he was the complete underdog. And I think that this role really suits him. But now, they really have to be cautious about what they do. Because, I mean, clear, he was dominated here and he was beaten very, very clearly. And he is the champion of their promotion. And now it counts what they do from here on. Because they can either take the title off him and have him completely fall down from the top, or they can make a story out of this and rebuild and reshape him with a win over Jake Lee. Because, yes, the GHC champion completely lost to the IWGP heavyweight champion, but then what purpose would it serve for Noah to take the title away from him right now and to give it to a guy that has not been a proven draw for any of his companies that he has been with, which is All Japan and Noah, of course. And the Jake Lee would be a complete unknown experiment. So I can see part of this being designed to be an out for a storyline with Kaito Kiyomiya, and part of it, of course, being New Japan has their say in the match. But there has to be something that Noah thought of this, because they had to be. They had to be thinking the same that we were thinking, that if we put our guy against Okada, our guy is losing. And they had to consider that. And they still put Kaito in. And there must have been a thinking behind that.
But you're talking like they think of him as a main event player.
And that's the thing. They present him as a main event player. And in their mind, I think they think that he is the main event player. But are they feeling that this is their main event player? And I think that those are two different ways to look at this. All the rational reasons point to, yes, this is a great up-and-coming guy for us, but the way they treat him, he's not that guy. And that is a clear issue with their treatment of this dude, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, none of his other matches is drawn on his own, like, even. And I think he's taking it. To me, I think he's losing the title. I don't think there's any storyline implication with this. I think there's, like, a lot of people were talking about a rematch between him and Okada, and I just, why? Like he's not going to beat Okada, like, at any point. Like, he's going to lose if he faces him again, so there's nothing to gain from that for anybody, I would say. I just think that's the thing. Like, Jake isn't great on his own, but he's not Kaito, which is better than it being Kaito right now, and I think that's the ultimate point. I don't see a lot of upside with Kaito right now. I think this title reign's been really damaging and bad for him. From really the beginning, remember, he started off getting beer poured on him by Fujita. Mm-hmm. He had that match with Thatcher, which I really loved, but didn't draw at Corkin, like, at all. Semi-main, like, the main story of that show was that he wasn't the main event guy there. And this match, this show, he was not the main event player again. And he lost and got embarrassed by Okada. So to me, I just don't see much. Where can we go from here with Kaito at the end of the day? It feels like a dead end every path almost, and I think they should get the title off of him.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
It's not his fault.
No, it's definitely their fault, and everything about this reign has been weird, and maybe the ending point will be as weird as well, because he has gotten all these defenses, but whenever they were leading up to these matches, he always lost. He lost so much already this year that this one basically is the exclamation point of it.
And what was the, like, besides this Okada match, was obviously a huge deal. What were the big matches that he's had, really? It's like Jack Morris, Thatcher, mm-hmm, Fujita.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Keno was, they just had that match 3 months prior.
And that is why I am not really thinking that he's dropping the title, because they've done all these smaller matches, which these title matches against, like, the guys of, like, the Jack Morris and Thatcher styles, those are usually matches that you get at the beginning of a title run and not in the middle or at the end.
Well, let me ask you this. Who is there left, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you're saying these are small guys, but this is their main event scene.
Is it really though? Thatcher? Yeah, he's beaten some guys, but now he's taking this L here in this multi-man match. Whereas Jack Morris, yeah, they pushed him strong.
Okay, but who's bigger than these guys? Is why I argue.
Yeah, none of the younger guys, definitely.
And Sugira's super old, and Marufuji. Yeah, right. I love those guys, but who is the other guy? Like, who are the main eventers besides who he's beat so far? Like, who? And if it's not Jake Lee, then who is it?
I mean, if he's beating Jake Lee, they will definitely once again go to the Yura match.
Well, yeah, he's the only one that you could think of, like, reasonably, I would say. And I love him very much, of course. But I don't think he's going to be the champion. Like, I don't think he's the correct... I think Jake is a better pick for champion than Sugira, personally.
Maybe.
As much as I love Sugira.
Not sure what Jake Lee... what the ceiling of Jake Lee's drawing power really is. I'm really unsure about this guy, to be honest.
Well, I understand that, but my point isn't Jake Lee's
no,
the guy.
I know.
It's more like there's nobody else. Like, you know, because I don't think anybody's a good draw. Kaito's not a draw on his own. When he didn't draw good in any of these matches that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like... I feel like it's a better move than Kaito, because I think Kaito was damaged badly by this Okada stuff. And I think that they'll probably try, if they do that, and he may just be Jake. I don't think it's like super important either way, honestly. Like I said, I think that Jake is not a top guy on his own, but I think Kaito is so damaged that it hurts the title having him as champion at the point. And like, if he beats Jake, so what? Like, at the end of the day, like being Jake doesn't mean anything on his own. And I think that, and if they do that, here's my thing with this. Let's say he beats Jake. And I said, I'm not super confident that Jake will win. I think it would be better if he won, because I think, again, he's damaged. I don't think he's a good champion at the moment with how they use him. Either way, let's say he wins or he loses, really, with Kaito. I think the funny thing is, either way, I think the story is the same with Kaito. This shows you where he's at right now, where you're trying to go on this... he spiraled, and now he has to build himself up again. We've seen that so many times already. Like, this is the same crap we've
seen.
But
I feel like that this is a go-to story for many Japanese promotions.
Well, I mean, they tried that with Okada once, and it was, like, the worst-received part of his career. And they've not done it since again.
Well, we've gotten the Okada redemption at various points with different lengths of the story.
Yeah, but he's never been embarrassed.
No.
Like, you don't just embarrass... Like, Kento's been down. And, like, Okada's been down, but they're not embarrassed like Kaito is. Like, he's been embarrassed multiple times in this feud. Like, three times we can talk about it in this 5-month reign with Fujita, with Kenno not being in the main event, and now this with Okada. He's been embarrassed three times, and most people don't have it once if they're, like, ace characters. So I think that really hurts him. So I'm pretty down on his future overall in general right now. I just think unless somebody takes charge that's not who's in charge right now, like maybe some new blood is in there that does better, I don't see a great future for him as champion or as not champion. And I think it would be better if they got the title off of him to somebody else. Again, I'm not like, I'm with you. I'm not super high on Jake at all. Like, I'm not saying that as any kind of draw. He hasn't really shown a lot in the ring either as a wrestler overall. And he's not technically under contract, so but I think my point is, with or without the title, Kaito's in the same spot, which is very low. And I think that we've seen him be embarrassed already for years and years with this Muto stuff. I don't know. You know, I don't see a great future for him as champion with things how they are right now.
Well, yeah, we'll see what's next for him. You say that he's so low, but then again, back to your question, who is higher?
And that's the problem with Noah, in general, I would say. And that's the thing. It's like, same thing with Jake. Jake is not a main event player on his own. I mean, that's been clearly obvious. But the thing that he has over everybody else, and I think that's why they're going this route, is he hasn't been around long enough for them to screw up and, like, take down as much. You know, like, he's only been around for a month or so. If he were around longer, I think the day will come, especially if he does lose, then I think he will be ran into the ground as well.
The real question is, when is Jake Lee finally joining Stinger?
Well, they kind of tease that they're breaking up, but they're having a match with all of them for the junior titles overall. So yeah. Maybe Jake, I mean, he's with good looking guys right now, the top faction. So you can't leave that. You can't leave good looking guys. I mean, that's giving up a huge spot, but we'll see. I just think, well, I guess we can kind of wrap that up with the
shows. One more question. What's next for Okada? Who is he facing? Who's winning in the New Japan Cup?
Yeah, he faced Tanahashi at the American show they did. Mm-hmm. Good match. Good main event there. As always, you would expect. They can do it in their sleep probably at this point. Okada, unlike Kaito, is a great champion for New Japan, and I think somebody that they should ride with. Although, like, lately, they always have these stop-and-start pushes with him, where he'll win the title, but then they'll cut it short for some reason. But yep. Thankfully, now that Jay White's gone, we won't have him as champion anymore. I would say, like, that's just a great news for New Japan as a whole. I think that now they've got that out of the way, I don't see any other particular contender. When I looked at the brackets, I think it's a pretty wide open field this year, I will say too, overall. And I don't really have a good feel for who wins this tournament, to be honest with you. When you look at it, I want to get the bracket up there. Did you have somebody in mind?
I don't have the brackets in front of me, but I would just say that obviously Tetsuya Naito always is a favorite, but
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He could claim his spot any day. I mean, he beat Muto on his final night. I mean, even if he goes out in round one against El Fantasmo, he can still come back and say, I beat Muto. I'm calling my shot. The one I'm thinking about is actually Jeff Cobb. Because with Jay White gone, they probably should push a guy that can become their top foreigner. And luckily he's back. They are, of course, going for Will Ospreay as their top foreigner. But I really would not do the Okada and Ospreay match right now. I would save that for a later day, for a later point in this year. And Jeff Cobb, building him up as a... And finally delivering this world title match that they've not done after the G1, that there where they had this great match and this great feud, would be great, in my opinion. Jeff Cobb winning the New Japan Cup, then going against Okada can stack up another great win. Would be a win-win situation for both, I think.
I think that what you just laid out is the best case scenario, in my opinion. I love Cobb. I think he's awesome. Great player, and he brings such a unique style. Again, we saw it last year in the G1. Okada thrives against these big guys. You know, like he can really do great things against power wrestlers and things like that. Cobb is a great opponent for him, so I love that. Naito was kind of my first pick, and now that I'm looking at these brackets, I kind of still lean towards him, even though I would be much more excited personally over somebody like a Cobb. I agree with you about Ospreay. I think they need to save that for later. What about Finley? They gave him a big push on the white
right.
thing.
That's right, man. Let's see. Finley, in the first round, what... Is Finlay's? He has Ishii in the first round, and then they have this weird thing where they have guys getting a forfeit in the first round. Yeah. Then he faces Great Okan. It's not impossible for him to win.
Then probably Umino.
Umino, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Zach.
Yeah, nothing impossible, to be quite honest. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they've set the bracket up to where he could go far in general. If they have a project for him, I think he would be good. Then it would probably be either Goto or Shingo in the semifinals. If we have a path for Finlay. And I think he could beat those guys. Like, Shingo just got a title shot, and Goto's Goto. So I think that Finlay could beat those guys and advance to the finals. I could see that. Honestly, I think he'd be a great pick. I thought he had an awesome run in the G1 last year. He was one of the standout players, I would say, and he really grabbed his opportunity by the horns. So if they give him another one, I would be all for that, personally. And
let's
I think
go.
He'd be, yeah, let's go. Exactly, let's go right now. This is my guy. I've loved him for years too. He's been a guy I've said was very underrated for a long time. So I love that too. I think I'll always go with the traditional favorite. So I'd say Naito. And you could put Cobb up there, and then Finley. Like one of those three would be my pick, and maybe it'll be Fantasmo, like you said, maybe Naito.
Yeah, man. They have been into Fantasmo lately. They've given him a lot of opportunities, and I think they like him. If they like him enough, I can't see him going far in this tournament.
Yeah, I think they definitely like him. He's another guy that had a lot of standout runs in G1 last year. Remember D-Block?
Yeah.
In G1, he was another guy there. He got to make out with Peter. I mean, that's worth more than any title to some people, like some would say. So they clearly like him. He did just lose to Tonga in the Never title match, I will say, too, on there. If they have a big plan for him, he would be a dark horse candidate, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like that's how I don't think he'll win. I don't think he's even a favorite, but I think that he's a, if they decide like, hey, we need something fresh, like here's Phantasmo, like I could buy that overall. What about I was gonna say Taichi, but I was like, I don't think he'll get a run. What about Naruto?
Too soon.
Yeah,
They haven't been building him up very well after the loss in the New Japan World Tag Team Tournament. They've slotted him in as the never openweight title region now.
Yeah, I think he'd be better off if they could do something with him in a tag run with one of the other guys like Desperado, like as a tag team. I think that would be more interesting for him right now. And I think, I mean, we talked about Umino and Naito. I thought that was a real tough main event.
For Umino.
And I don't think he's ready.
Clearly not ready. Ren Narita and Tomohiro Ishii would be a great tag team.
Yeah, have Ishii jump from Chaos, join their group. Because right now it's Narita, Desperado, and Suzuki as a faction. Put Ishii in there. I love that. I mean, they're two of my favorite guys. So I'm all for this. And I'm very happy that Goto and Yoshihashi seem to have a tag run going right now. We could see them face, too, in the second round if Yoshi beats Kyle Fletcher in the first round.
Add on tag partners. We have Okada and Tanahashi challenging for the tag team title at the anniversary in April. Are they winning?
I mean, you can't count them out. Okada's on the team, of course.
Sure.
And, like, this is a super team. Tanahashi's not where he once was as the top main event guy, so I think it's possible he drops a fall here. But, I mean, I think that they might win, to be honest with you.
Actually, not in April. It's in March. Yeah, next week. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, very close by, actually. I could see that. I think they're going to win. Like I said, my negativity on Goto and Yoshihashi continues, but I doubted them last month and they won. So I could see it going either way, but why not? Double champion Okada.
Shout out to Flosh, who is very certain that Goto is going to lose this one.
See, it's funny because on the G1 in years past, you always told me that he always picks Goto to win. But now he's come along to my pessimistic side.
He sent me a screenshot of the match graphic, and he said, "The year of Goto is coming to its destined goal."
Lose to Okada?
Yeah.
Well, I hope they win because I like them a lot as a team. But
if it was me booking, I would give Yoshihashi the W over Tanahashi.
Tanahashi really likes Yoshihashi too. Like he thinks he's like a great performer, which he's correct on.
Obviously, wrestler brain Tanahashi is correct here.
Yes, I mean, me and Tanahashi have long since seen the potential, even when others doubted us. Like me and Tanahashi have very, very similar brains when it comes to wrestling. By the way, shout out! I got to talk about my appearance on a cheap plug here to kind of transition as we get to the main event of the Dome Show, but. I am on the Must See Matches show once again for my third appearance. They said I'm one of the leaders in the clubhouse of overall appearances, talking about Tanahashi versus Kota Ibushi from 2018 final, which is I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's pretty good. That match, I would say. And I loved watching that match. It reminded me of how awesome these people are, like Tanahashi especially. I came out thinking he was like the best wrestler ever now after that match. So we can always have more Tanahashi. Why isn't he in this tournament?
I guess because he's going to be tag team champion.
But Goto and Yoshihashi are already tag champions.
That's a good point.
We had room for Yujiro and then not Tanahashi in this.
It's wild. I don't know.
Well, maybe they just didn't want him to lose before he wins the tag titles. And they're like, we'll just save Tanahashi. Maybe he didn't want to wrestle. He's like, guys, I'm beat up.
I'm Tenzan now.
His wrestling is still quality at certain times, but I gotta understand. But anyway, Tanahashi's awesome. I don't care.
It's getting rougher and rougher to watch him try to run inside the ring.
Yeah, you could tell that he's on the last legs, I would say. But he will not retire for 15 more years, as he promised.
That is true, yeah.
That he will beat Keiji Muto's retirement age by 1 year.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets a similarly big retirement show. That's a great transition, actually, to our main event here. Keiji Muto in his second to last match, officially. He lost to Tetsuya Naito, and it was a match that was as long as most of Tetsuya Naito's matches are, 29 minutes. And this completely exceeded all expectations that I realistically could have for this match, or that, in my opinion, anybody could realistically have for this one. But first off, Dylan, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, the entrance themes. Keiji Muto, the production levels were off the charts for this entire show. This, not only from the looks of the Tokyo Dome itself, from the 30,000 inside the dome, but also from the video production and all the music played, all the entrances, this just was one of the biggest shows in Japanese wrestling for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and that's what I anticipated going in, and I thought, that's another thing we have to talk about on the show. I think that, and it shows you how shameful their booking is and how they run that company, because this company is the top promotion when it comes to production values. I would say the ramp, the stage, the music, the videos, the spectacle of it all. I thought this was better than Wrestle Kingdom in terms of a spectacle show, like what they did.
I agree.
And they are where they are. Like, and I think that says something about how they're doing overall. But the production was phenomenal. The themes was phenomenal. The video they played before the show, before the match, was absolutely epic. I mean, this felt like the biggest event in Japanese wrestling, not just this year, but in years and years. Like you said, one of the biggest of all time, this felt like. And I just thought, like, whatever you want to say, we'll talk about the show overall, like, when we wrap it up or whatever. But as a production, this has to be a 10 out of 10. Easily. Like, amazing work on everybody's part that's a part of that. Just absolutely, this felt like the biggest match of all time by the time they were getting into it for a guy who could barely move in reality. But they made you so hyped with these videos. The music thing was awesome. I love that. That's such a great idea to play all of his themes, like, back to back. And you could, like, hear the crowd react to some bigger than others, which was awesome. I really love, like, when they played Triumph, you could hear the crowd chant NWO on there, which was like, I mean, it's the Tokyo Dome chanting for NWO in 2023. Was that on your bingo card, Striga?
Unlike Nagata winning the Triple Crown.
Yeah, that was way more likely than NWO Pops coming back in Japan. But we did cover it. Check out patreon.com/EasternLariat. We covered NWO Japan Muto on there in a match teaming with Shono, and all of his career in New Japan as well. And I think that's another thing. These themes showed, like, the ones they popped biggest for were for his New Japan themes, more so than the All Japan themes, which I thought was interesting overall. Because his career, I mean, he's had different phases of his career, right? Where the New Japan one was he started out, then he had the All Japan run where he's the owner of the company.
Pro Res Love era, yeah.
We've seen that still, to this day. Like, The Last Love, the name of the show, right? Mm-hmm. Then we had Wrestle One and Noah, kind of this third fusion of his career. So he had all of these different forms, but I still think that this show proved that he'll always be a New Japan guy in the fans' hearts, like the long-term fans' hearts. And I mean, look at his retirement match was against his New Japan, like one of his idols, so to speak, one of the guys who idolized him. I think that showed that the fans still view him that way. Although I will say, I argued with Gerard on this, that Trans Magic, his All Japan theme, was my favorite theme of his. I think the holdout, like the theme that he used, and the New Japan theme, like his OG theme, is the best theme when it comes to big dome matches like this.
Oh yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, like in terms of an entrance theme, like the holdout is the best one, I would say, like just in terms of big, big matches like that, because it's just such an epic sounding theme. And I mean, his entrance here was amazing. The stage around him. I mean, this was WrestleMania level type of stuff here. I thought it was just fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that's completely it. It it was outstanding. Can't say anything else. And then they got in there, and of course, they were doing a lot of stuff on the ground and on the mat, and everybody was waiting for the 25-minute figure four leg lock that Muto did. But in, unlike two matches that he had, for example, with Kaito Kiyomiya, they didn't do these long sequences on the mat in the figure four, not as long as they did in the matches before, but this one was Keiji Muto once again really putting on his working boots, and Naito knew in what kind of situation he was, and he also completely lived up to the match and to the importance of the match. And I don't think you can stress this enough, that Tetsuya Naito is at least on the level of Katsushika Okada when it comes to a big match wrestler. He's also a guy that has been wrestling for a long time and has had horrific injuries, obviously, and so his body is hurting a lot too, and sometimes it's showing with the matches that he's doing that they don't really work the way anymore that they used to. He's not as explosive anymore. But man, when it counts, this guy just shows up. And it especially hit me when they were doing the Destino, and for the first time it didn't really go through. And I was wondering what they were going to do, because I couldn't even imagine these two guys doing the Destino with Muto's shot knees. But they did. They did. They went to the Destino, and not only that, they also went to Keiji Muto calling back to Shinya Hashimoto and to Misawa with the Emerald Flosion and the DDT, which got amazing reactions from the crowd. So that was just fucking incredible. And then, of course, everything was built around Keiji Muto's two attempts of going to the top rope, and they completely got me, Dylan. And I said, no, there is no way that this dude is doing the moonsault in the Tokyo Dome. After the first tease, I said, yeah, of course, no, he's not doing that. After the second tease, I expected him to go up for a third time and deliver the moonsault. I was completely ready for it, and he knew that everybody was thinking that. He's just so smart. He knows his fans, and he knows what people are expecting, and that they are saying, no, there's no way he's doing that. And he completely played into that. So this is just an incredible, incredible way to go out for Keiji Muto. The best match he's done in, I don't know, in a decade? More than a decade? What would you say?
Yeah, I wasn't as enthralled with this match as you were, clearly.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, the atmosphere and tributes and stuff were great, but these guys could still barely move, like, at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's like, that's not enjoyable for me to watch at the end of the day, no matter what happens. I mean, the best parts of the match to me were what you said about the tributes to Misawa and Hashimoto, and I personally enjoyed the Chono stuff way more than this match. Like, if you were asking me a rating, I would rate the other match higher, like the this one. Like, you know, like, I didn't think this was a great match at all, like, personally. The spectacle of it was great. And again, like, the spectacle of it was amazing, and the tributes and all of that stuff, and like you said, teasing the moonsault. I thought for sure he was going to do the moonsault. Like, I even going into the match, I thought, oh, he's definitely doing the moonsault. Like, going in there, like, that's how this is going to end, and I thought that he would do it. I thought it was very smart to tease it and then not to do it. But at the end of the day, we're watching a guy who could barely move. Like, that's all that is to it. Like, this is totally unrealistic to even buy into all of this, to be honest. Like, the presentation of the stuff was, like, just a shining example of what every company should want to do. And, yeah, I mean, and I've seen a lot of comments. I mean, this is a controversial match, you know. Like, most people like it. There's more negative comments popping up, you know. I thought that the spectacle was like a 10, and the match itself was just not very good, ultimately. Like, if you get past the spectacle, if you just watch it for a match, then I don't think there's a lot there, to be honest.
This is the highest rated Keiji Muto singles match on Cage Match since Let me look at this.
It's funny because go on.
Since Muto versus Kawada in 2002.
And I thought the Kaito match was well received by most people.
It was.
Like the one
it's
where Kaito
just
won.
A little behind. It's just a little behind. And this one has 8.66, and the Kaito match has 8.55.
Yeah.
Same observer rating.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I don't know. I like none of these matches grabbed me, like these Muto matches, to be honest. So I might not be the right person for this. And I wasn't really hyped for this match going into it. I was much more excited about
this. Me neither. I was afraid of this match. Actually, because
well, I wasn't afraid. I was afraid it would be really boring, which it kind of was for me.
I was afraid for both guys' health, actually, because of their disability to move very well and Muto possibly doing the moonsault.
luckily,
he had another match scheduled with Chono, so he couldn't do the moonsault.
Yeah, like I said, the tributes were cool, and it was a special moment, unquestionably. Like a great moment. I could see this winning the Tokyo Sports Match of the Year by the end of the year, yeah. But, like, just as a match, like, the execution, like, what happened in the ring, like, I wasn't enthralled with this at all. I thought the other matches were better. I mean, yep. What you said is true, that, like, this was better than we probably thought it was. Like, you know, I'd put it up there as among his best matches, but that shows you how little I think of his work the last decade or so. Like, so this is a guy I wasn't really a fan of at all anyway, like, the last 10 years. And we're talking me personally now, because him as a star, he's among the biggest in the history of Japanese wrestling. That's clearly true. That his retirement show proved that he's outdrawing a bigger promotion in the Dome. But for me personally, I don't have any reverence or emotional attachment to his wrestling the last 15 years at least.
And I agree. This has been one of the themes of this show for the past years, that I've never been a big fan of his wrestling for the past 10 years, much like you say. And
yeah,
still though, this match I was completely drawn into and shows what abilities these two have as big match wrestlers.
And a lot were. Like, a lot clearly were. I mean, a lot of people like this match. Like, I think the spectacle, again, is really a big part of that. Like, with all the emotional factors and everything going in, I think it was always going to be this way, that a lot of people were going to like it. And like I said, I mean, you can make the case this was his best match of the past decade. I don't think there's anything incorrect about that statement. It just shows that how little I think of his other matches, that I think I would still make that. But, you know, like I said, if you watch it, if you come in with the right mindset, so to speak, like you want to enjoy it and you're into spectacle and all that stuff, then I'm not surprised. That is very high rating. But I mean, personally, the feel good moment was after this match, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like I personally enjoyed that stuff way more.
Let's go talk about it, Dylan.
Yeah, so he called out Chono for one last match for old time's sake. You had Tiger Hattori come out as the referee. And it wasn't a match, really. Like, I mean, to call it a match is, like, ridiculous. I mean, he was in a suit, Chono was, here. But basically, he laid down, and Chono put on the STF on him one last time to take away Naito's main event, which I thought was fantastic on a Carney level to do this. Like, perfect ending for Muto, even though I don't know if it'll be his ending, really. But regardless of that, I think it was a perfect ending for Muto. The tributes to Hashimoto. And again, kind of what I said before, this shows you that in his heart, even, I think he's a New Japan guy. Like, to do this Chono, to have called back to this Three Musketeers stuff.
Yeah, there was no Noah guy in any of this.
No, you're totally right about that. So that kind of goes back to your point at the start of the show, where it's a Noah show technically, but...
Technically.
This was a Muto show in all reality. You know, I think everybody can accept that.
The American version of that probably is Ring of Honor being part of this Madison Square Garden show.
I don't think it was that bad, but yeah, I get where you're coming from there. But yeah, I thought this was awesome. Like, this Chono Muto stuff, so fun, lighthearted. I didn't have to watch them try to work through this all of his real life. Like I said, that's the thing. It's like his matches, there's no selling. He just sells his real injuries, like you know, more than actual moves themselves. I think I saw a comment that said something almost exactly like that on Cage Match. So I know I'm not the only person thinking that, but it's like there's no selling or story in his matches. He's just hurt for real, and it's uncomfortable for me to watch him try to wrestle. We didn't have to do that in this. It's like he just had a goofy like feel good moment at the end for him and Shono. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Like the perfect ending to the show, in my opinion. The only thing that could have been better is if they had played like Hashimoto's like stuff, which they did do actually. Yeah. After they played Misawa's and Hashimoto's theme. So yeah, I mean a perfect finish. Even though I didn't love the Naito match as much as everybody else, I thought it was the perfect finish overall to the show. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad everybody enjoyed it because this is supposed to be a feel-good match at the end of the day, like Muto and Naito. It's not like this is for a title or any kind of storyline. It does. It really didn't even matter that Naito won, to be honest with you. Like, if we won or lost, it still would have been the same. It's not like there's any, you know, repercussions towards this match in any logical way. It's just a feel-good main event retirement match for a legend and a guy who's becoming a legend in Naito. So everybody should enjoy it. It's just not for me. That's all.
And you forwarded me this article that there is
right
an out.
Right away.
Yeah, there is. One day after the show, there is an out. If Masa Chono chooses to do a retirement show at any point, the NOAH director said he could think that Keiji Muto could return for this one match. Muto, one day after his retirement, it was announced that he has already another appearance. He is going to appear at Jinsei Shinsaki's 30th anniversary show on March 5. And Dylan, there already is talks about a potential one-off.
Well, I don't want to say I told you so. like, what can you say? It's Muto.
Another question, Dylan. Because we've been talking about Tanahashi and his retirement in 15, 20 years down the line. What is there that Japanese wrestling can do that can potentially be as big or bigger than this retirement show?
This is such a unique circumstance of having the one of the biggest stars ever retire. That I think it would be hard to replicate something like that.
I don't think you can replicate something like that. I don't think that there is a legend around these days where you can realistically say that he is as big as Muto is to have a retirement like this. Fujinami, 20 years ago, maybe. But I think he has long passed the point of anyone caring about him retiring. Kawada, he is away from wrestling. He's not going to have a retirement show. Chono, maybe, but I don't think that he will do anything. So we have the generation of Tanahashi left.
Yeah, and here's the difference between Muto and these other guys. He was a world champion like a year ago, like in a major company. So and these other guys have done nothing for like 20 years. So like Chono and Fujinami, like not 20, but like more like 15. you could argue. Like these other guys, they're out of the spotlight. You know, they're out of the public eye. You know, Muto is always in the public eye. Like, you know, he's been around, been a major main event player for a major company in the last, you know, year or two. So I think that helps him more than these other legends if they were trying to do a retirement show. And like you said, when Tanahashi retires, I think that you'll see a very similar show to this, if not maybe even a little bigger. Overall, but you also have to remember that when Muto was a main eventer, wrestling was more permeating in the Japanese culture than it is these days. Even though like it's very profitable and like stuff like that, wrestling was bigger when Muto was a main eventer than it is now in Japan, not necessarily worldwide. So I think that, you know, it's just going to be interesting because that's the only thing I can think of is like Tanahashi's retirement.
Yeah,
I don't think if there was some kind of, you know, because, I mean, they've done the cross-promotional stuff, and it's not been dome-worthy, you know, at the end of the day. Like, I don't think that any formation of that, like a major event... here's what I think maybe could work, and this is only speculating. I don't think it would be even be as big as this, but I think it could be a dome show, even if it's not as successful as a Wrestle Kingdom or a Muto show. I think if they announced a Super J-Cup type of tournament, but for heavyweights... and all the champions were like, if they did a tournament of champions, like, and this will never happen, but if it did, I think if they did like the Triple Crown, the GHC, and the IWGP champions will be in a one night tournament along with these other champions across the continent of Japan, I think that could be a dome show. That would be a special event that would rival this, and you get the right production team behind it. But that's the only idea that I would have off the top of my mind. That and a Tanahashi retirement.
Tanahashi versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
And you'd think that would be a natural retirement match when that happens, right?
That would be the perfect retirement match for either guy. And that could be dome level worthy.
A double retirement. Like
it's definitely dome level worthy.
Yeah, 10 years from now, Nakamura versus Tanahashi. They will retire, and they will retire fighting each other. Yeah, that would be bigger than this. I think actually, if they did that, that's the only thing I could say would be definitively bigger. Because I think this was a huge event, and I think we'll go down surely as the show of the year in terms of overall, like not just in Tokyo Sports, but also in the much more prestigious Eastern Lariat Awards. I would say that would be the clear favorite. You can't imagine anything beating it at this point. So. You got to say a total success on that level with Muto, proving himself as the big star that he is, that he wants to be and knows that he is, and everyone knows that he is overall. And anything else is just trying to play catch up for number two in terms of big shows now and in the next few years. Like I said, unless there's some kind of shocking, like Tanahashi just says, okay, I was just kidding about that whole beating Muto stuff. I'm going to retire in 2 years or whatever. That would be the only thing I could say would be on the horizon.
Yeah. That's basically concludes our look at possibly one of the biggest shows in Japanese wrestling history.
Yeah, that's true.
It's this show, and I feel completely vindicated before I even get vindicated, saying that this will be a landmark show in Japanese wrestling history, and we will be looking back at that show in years to come. This one is bigger than Tenryu. This one is bigger than Kobashi. This one is out of this world big.
Yeah, that's unquestionable. And that's what I was thinking like going into it, that this would be a bigger show than all of that, and it totally delivered on all those expectations. But let me ask you this before we move on from all of this Tokyo Dome and Muto Show stuff. What do you think overall, because this is an interesting thing, do you think that Noah gained more from this show or New Japan?
New Japan, no question.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's why I brought up the Ring of Honor comparison.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the Noah main event scene. Noah, without Keiji Muto, without the hook of this retirement run, they will have a tough time coming back from all of this. None of their guys were positioned in any way, shape, or form on this card. The one guy that got something out of it, you could say, was Amakusa, because he and Hiromu Takahashi looked to be on a similar level.
And that he lost in 10 minutes. Right?
Yep.
well.
Yep. That's the one guy. And there is nothing else. No one else. Sugiura lost. Maru Fuji didn't do anything. They are not the guys anyways. Jake Lee, yes, he got the win, but he's not even a Noah guy. He's just come in this year. Noah is going to have a tough, tough year.
I think the only one... I don't think Amakusa gained anything from that match, personally, as a star. I thought it made him look a second rate to Hiromu. Only his wrestling was better. Like, the 10-minute loss was bad, in my opinion. Like, okay,
see it as bad. I thought it was pretty well done.
It was a great, like, great wrestling. Just, it didn't make him look like an even-keel champion to lose in 10 minutes, in my opinion. The only ones that gained anything from Noah, in my opinion, were Kongo. Like Kenno and Nakajima, and they're going to All Japan. So right now, they're the ones that came out on the Noah side, the biggest stars to me on this show. And like you said, the tag match with the Dragon Gate tag, Dr. Wagner looked like a worthy national champion overall.
Yeah. But still, though, when it all comes down to this, not a Noah guy.
Yeah. that's a fair point as well.
Keiji Muto, not a Noah guy. Jake Lee, not a Noah guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah, I don't think Jake Lee gained anything for the show. He was on the pre-show. Like, to me. So,
but he got a W at least.
Oh, I mean, yeah, so like, you know, like he won the pre-show at the end of the day. Like, you know, I don't think he was made to look like any kind of big deal on this here. I mean, I'm Stinger. Like, they won their match as well. They also got a W, overall. But I just think that, yeah, that's kind of where, like, let's do a rapid-fire portion here, like, right here. So, coming off of this show, we agree that New Japan got the most of any company. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Noah, we don't think gained a ton other than having this major show. Like, you know, because they can say, you can say if you're a Noah fan and defender that this was one of the biggest shows in Noah history. Right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure.
But like you said, I don't really feel like there's a lot of buzz. Maybe they can take this and turn it into something else, you know, in the future. You know, use whatever publicity they got, they could give themselves a bump. And maybe we could see Kaito. Like you said, I hope you're right about Kaito. Like, he defends the title, and they do a lot of great things with him. I just think that he didn't gain a lot from this Okada stuff overall, outside of this particular show. Do you think that the other companies gained anything? All Japan, DDT,
Dragon Gate? I was about All Japan.
I agree with that.
I really think that All Japan, just behind New Japan, gained the second most from this show. Just because of the reactions that Kento Miyahara got, and because Kongo are going to All Japan, and we're expecting, like, we didn't even talk about the Carnival lineup, but there are two X's and possibly two Kongo guys are coming into the tournament. So I can see All Japan gaining some buzz. And they have been very smart this year. They gained buzz through their alliance with New Japan as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they are the top drawing company in Tokyo Dome, in Kurken Hall.
The Tokyo Dome.
1,400 fans at Kurken Hall this year is the top draw for All Japan, for any other company in Japan. So they've been very smart with choosing their alliances. And they have been, in my opinion, even though they brought them together in a very honky way, this new Hontai faction, Zenichi Jindai. Zenichi Shin Jindai, that's it. I thought that this is a great way to position their guys, and the clear goal of that should be that Yuma Oyagi gets elevated. But now they not only fight New Japan, they also fight Noah, and that could be a great hook for All Japan this year, which I potentially see being a better hook than whatever Noah is coming up.
Yeah, and I don't know what hook there is for Noah coming up exactly. Is a Stinger drama, you know? Kaito and Jake.
Another year of Stinger drama.
Oh, we're just getting started with Stinger drama. we're just scratching the surface of what they bring to the table. But
let it play out.
You know, I'll let this Kaito thing play out, even though I came away kind of negative on the show. I'm willing to give this a chance, like, to see if they can follow your blueprint that you did. I'm skeptical personally, but, you know, he's an incredible wrestler, and that's the one thing I will say, is that he proved, there were any doubters left of his, that he's an amazing wrestler. Like, performance-wise, he's among the top, and I think he proved that once again. Like you said, that was a match of the year level match, him and Okada, and they deserve credit for that. I just hope that they have something in mind for him, because like you said, the most interesting thing coming out of this was the New Japan stuff, but the All Japan stuff, I was going to make that same point, that I thought they gained a lot from that one match where they looked like totally on the same level of a Noah, like, clearly. Like, the Dome reaction made Kento feel like a star on the level of even the top champions in Noah and IWGP. So you get a lot of great things there, you know, New Japan and All Japan and Noah. Dragon Gate's match was a one-off. I don't think they... No. Gained a lot from it, to be honest, unfortunately.
I don't think that DDT or TJPW gained a ton, but they gained visibility on this stage.
And they got these guys to have a dome match, is their way. And that's true for Noah as well. Like, these guys now have a dome match to their names. You know, somebody like, you know, in the opening match, even like Junta, Kotage, Alejandro, you know, Yohei, like, these guys now have a Tokyo Dome match under their name, and that means something. So I think that that will help them out morale wise, at least. And I think that, if anything else, I really don't love how they run their company, but if the morale's up, maybe things will have, there'll be good vibes coming off of this. I'm sure there was a lot of high fives on this. this did also the most number of pay-per-view buys on a BMO. Over 100,000 people bought this show. So they had a ton of, like, clearly this was a huge success in every possible financial way. Mm. Hopefully, with all of that, they could take that and transfer that into more fans going forward, even though I don't think they built a lot on this show. I want to see more fans check out Noah and really love Kaito, because I think he's one of the best. And I'll try to be more positive. I know I was negative earlier. I'm going to try to be more positive on Kaito going forward and Noah in general, I would say.
Yeah.
Until I watch the next Stinger match.
That's a good way. But yeah, we'll be following everything that's coming up. And Dylan, I know that you've been very busy with the Dramatic Dream Dragons. So what else can you plug? What else is there? Maybe on our Patreon.
That's right, the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Like I said, you got to check out the Week of Lariat KG Muto series, me and Dr. Jonathan Foy. Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, shout out to Dr. Jonathan getting into the top five of the Wrestling
Yes! Reserve
newsletters.
Congrats.
Best Book of the Year votes there. So climb that mountain, Doc. I know that he's got something else up his sleeve, at some point where he's going to climb up those rankings. He's going to get into that top three eventually. And then maybe one day he might get in that number one spot. I really believe in him. But I love talking to him.
Maybe
it was a lot of fun.
Jonathan can be the Rookie of the Year in 10 years, too.
Much like Takumi Iroha as well. So, of course. So, you know, Iroha, very young prospect, hot prospect, we can see. I guess some would say in the Observer universe. But that's their votings. She never got any votes on our Rookie of the Year votes on the Eastern Lariat Awards.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, so it's not that we were disrespecting you, Iroha. We love you. I love you. I love you so much, Iroha. Like, love her so much as a wrestler. And yet, no votes for Rookie of the Year, so we'll have to see if we can correct that in the near future. Maybe upstand the change the grading system to 15 years instead of just two, some would say. But yeah, the Patreon though, you get a lot of cool stuff on there. Lots of Toyota reviews, 90s Project. Gonna be doing a lot more writing as well. I try to catch up because I've had a lot going on in the past week, so there's gonna be some catch up stuff. Glad we got to do the show, though, as well. And always keep your eyes peeled on the Patreon, because there's new stuff coming all the time. And anytime there's a major show, it's going to get talked about on there pretty much, other than the last week because of everything going on. But besides that, big shows coming up, big shows even in America. I'll have a review of the AEW show coming up with the Iron Man match in the main event.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah. See, so you'll get a little bit of everything on the Patreon. Lots of fun stuff. Past content, too, with the Toyota, the 90s Project. Lots of fun stuff. And we did Week of Lariats, too, before me and you did in the past. They're still in the archive, too, if y'all want to listen to them. And I actually think, in all honesty, I think, that's some of Striga's best work, in my opinion. I like to think I was good, too, on it. But I think you were, like, really on point, especially the Kojima one stood out to me as some of our best stuff. Yeah, those series I really, really love overall, and lots of great times, lots of great memories. And Muto, like I said, maybe I wasn't as big of a fan of his as a wrestler in the last 10 years or whatever, but there's no question his impact and the memories he's made for so many fans of wrestling and his impact. And I think that it's a good thing that you see a star like this get this level of shows and this level of attention, both in Japan and among the English-speaking sector of fans, to where you get people talking about the show, to where we can even talk about big matches like Kaito and Okada, Muto coming in facing Tetsuya Naito. The fact that we're talking about the show, DDT, Dragon Gate, TJPW, all in the same show with Noah, New Japan, the fact that we're getting to talk about this shows that I think wrestling in Japan, this show proved that wrestling in general is on the upswing going forward. And we hope to see some big things in the future from all of these companies, obviously.
Great closing words on your end. And I was just so happy to see how many people came together and enjoyed this show, enjoyed Keiji Muto's retirement. I was happy for the reactions we got for our questions on Twitter. So thankful once again for the Eastern Lariat family. And this has been the show for this week. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.